And I have no doubt that around about this time here, around 22, when Brent Harvey was playing, he'd just start to get excited again. He'd have a bit of a lull through the last month or so, knowing that finals are around the corner. And this is when the grass is starting to smell a bit different, getting cut, Boomer. And your time to shine is now. Good morning.
Good morning, Harf. Well, the grass is certainly not shining in local football at the minute. Have you seen the conditions of the grounds?
I have seen the grounds, yes.
Worst conditions I've ever played in last week.
Ever?
Unbelievable.
Where'd you play?
At the kennel. The ground was no good.
Really?
Puddles up to my... And I know this is... People are going to laugh at this, but puddles up to my shins.
Well, like...
Proper puddles.
2.5 centimetres. Like,
yeah, that's what I was getting at. It is for the AFL, though. It's fantastic. Not so much if you're Sydney, Melbourne on a Friday night playing for... I don't know what they play for, Whitey. Nothing.
Who's a Melbourne-Sydney person? Oh, goodness me.
Yeah, but it's just a nothing game on a Friday night, isn't it? Well scheduled.
The Jared Healy Cup.
The Jared Healy Cup. I like it.
There you go.
Well, but for everybody else, you're right. You're right, Half. It's beautiful. The grass is not so much here because we had a little bit of rain. In a couple of weeks, it's going to be absolutely beautiful leading into the finals.
Well, I was going to ask questions of our track manager at Geelong, James Dalton, about that, but I was told I wasn't allowed to.
Correct, because...
Too heavy.
It's a very interesting discussion, Boomer, that sort of thing.
Right.
News was upon us.
Poor old George. He's lost his scope. He's lost his creativity.
We've had to rein him in.
But there's a bit going on too, isn't there? Obviously, everyone retires this time of year because it's going to be their last home game. We've got about six or seven of them, which is fantastic to cheer off our stars of the game.
Yep.
Coaches are getting appointed. Coaches are getting sacked. There's a bit going on in the life of AFL.
Yeah, so we'll speak to Lids about retiring a little bit later on this hour. You have that conversation with him about when and why. And there's, of course, the conversation yesterday and today in the papers that Dale Thomas is going to announce his retirement too.
Yeah, well, we've sort of speculated on that all week as to what would happen and if Carlton didn't give him another contract, whether he would potentially look at somewhere like the Suns, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Is he the right fit for the Suns?
Probably not.
Yeah.
So I asked Daniel Hufford this question yesterday about David Teague as a former teammate. You were a former teammate of David as well.
Yep.
Did you think when you played with him that one day he would become a senior coach? Do you have any sort of characteristics of that?
Nope.
When he was playing?
Absolutely not. And I don't say that because there's not too many people that I do say he's going to be a great coach or he's going to even coach. Adam Simpson was one. We had at North Melbourne, we had a really weird setup where we had a part-time midfield coach and Simo was taking the meetings when he wasn't there. And even when he was there, Simo was still taking the meeting, so you could see that he was going to coach one day. Now, how good he was going to be, no one knew. But other than that, no one else really springs to mind and says he's going to be a coach. And Teague was just in that category of everybody else. Heard some fantastic things about him when he was coaching at Adelaide. Obviously, coached against North Melbourne then. So it's fantastic though. But he was a great player. There's a category of courageous. And there's three guys that I've played with that sit above them. It's called stupidity. It was Glenn Archer, Lee Colbert, and David Teague is in that category as well. So his football was, yes, he wasn't the best kick, mark, or handball, or didn't have the most possessions, but courageous and team man, he was fantastic.
I had to argue with that. And he's got the job. I'm going to speak to him after 8 o'clock, which we're very keen to do. So we'll do more of that with Teague after 8 o'clock. There's a bit going on in footy. You mentioned the retirements, you mentioned the new coach appointments, but also there's a bit happening in terms of the run to the finals, Boomer. And this stage of the year, often we have the finals almost set, the lineup almost set. That's not the case this year, and particularly this round. I mean, this is a real season-shaping round, not just for one or two teams, but for basically 10 or 11 teams. I can't recall a round quite like this of recent memory at this time of year.
No, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it? Even the game, like I think Carlton St Kilda is going to be a really good game. Teague's just got the job. Ratton's going for the job. But when you look at the ladder, who would have thought Brisbane Lions would have been vying for top spot on the AFL ladder? So Brisbane v Geelong, Richmond versus West Coast. People are saying that could be the grand final preview already. Adelaide are playing against a team that needs to make it or try to secure a spot in the top four. Adelaide are trying to secure a spot in the top eight. Bulldogs, Giants. I think there's some absolute rippers. So it's good the way it works out. Unfortunately, the Friday night game's not awesome, but that's footy. We're going to get that every now and then. And the rest of the games, though, there's something in it for every single team.
All right, on the time-honoured, award-winning podcast, By the Numbers.
By the numbers.
Which I had a cameo.
Who does that?
Well, I had a cameo hosting appearance yesterday. I asked the question about of our team. If you had to pick one team as your premiership team, the one that you wanted to nail yourself to for the rest of the season, who would it be? Now, we're going to learn a hell of a lot in the next couple of weeks. We're going to learn a hell of a lot over the next couple of days that'll assist in that process. But as it stands now, if you had one team, who would it be, Boomer?
The West Coast Eagles.
Rama?
Geelong.
Daniel?
Isn't that interesting? Richmond by the length.
What, oh, about, well, you? What about you? Oh, I'm absolutely Richmond as well.
Well,
but I'm knee deep in Richmond.
Yeah.
Oh, you're emotionally invested as well as perhaps another angle invested.
But it's interesting because I've don't worry about me. But you've named your three. Now I'm going to go back. Why?
Because a couple of reasons. They're getting players back. They're playing their best footy in the last 6 weeks, and they've been there before. And the MCG.
Rama.
Geelong play well in close games. Their best football this year has been better than anybody, in my opinion, particularly in the early part of the season. And they've changed, I think, which is most important. Geelong over previous years have served up exactly the same. This year, they have made a clear change to their game plan.
Boomer?
I think West Coast are the most even team. I thought their midfield might have been their weakness, but they've certainly stepped up and taken the mantle of nearly the best midfield in the competition. They will get two home finals, so they'll make the grand final for me, and they did it last year. The question was, can they win at the MCG? Well, we know the answer now.
All right, I'll flick it around again. Can West Coast win it from if they don't finish top two?
Yes.
They can, but it will make it a lot harder. I think they need two home finals, which they'll win both.
Rama, with Geelong, are you nervous about the fact that they haven't recaptured that form from the first half of the year, or have they just been waiting for this time of
waiting.
Year?
They went into a hard training phase after the bye. They got themselves absolutely cherry ripe for the start of the season because they knew the difficulty of their schedule, their draw. And they're always going to have a flat patch in this second part of the season. I thought to be able to keep a team to one goal in football is very, very difficult. And Geelong were able to do that. That shows how tight their defensive structure is. And as I said, their change has been exceptional. Their forward half pressure now is finals pressure.
And on the Tigers, Daniel, this is just spontaneous. This is quite good.
You're liking these questions.
Yeah, I do. I like putting you under pressure. Without Alex Rance, are you concerned from a Richmond perspective, or because it happened in round one, they've been able to make the necessary adjustments and it's not as big a deal as we thought it was going to be at the time?
No, I forgot Alex Rance even played. No, because of the fact they've been working with a system with a playing group since round one. If it was round 18 that this had happened, I'd be much more wary of the Tigers' chances and concern, but zero concern. They've shown that they've been capable against anyone.
They cannot win the premiership without Trent Cotchin.
I'm not so sure about that.
It's someone who has really lifted.
It certainly helped. I think it certainly helped.
Someone who's really lifted in his absence recently is Dion Prestia.
That's correct.
He has scored more coaches' votes than anyone in the competition over the last 6 weeks. I think it's four games in a row he's had over 30 disposals. But he has taken his footy, I reckon, to a new level this year.
Well, Trent Cotchin is a finals player.
Mm.
Finals. Yeah, Trent Cotchin is a star. Do not underestimate that.
But how can you play on the ball and Cotchin inside and they only tag Dusty. Mm. So you're getting, we know what the midfielders do. And I think he's been fantastic press here as well. I'm with you. But the midfielders, now let's shake hands at the start of the game and shake hands at the end of the game. If you don't have 25 playing midfield all day, there's something wrong.
Last question for you before we move on. And Daniel takes it wherever way he likes. who is your floater, your bolter from outside the obvious top four that are playing each other this week that could do the most damage? They don't have to necessarily be in the top eight at the moment. Because I sort of feel that it's a top 10, top 11 at the moment, and we're starting finals this week. Coaches have said that. Finals start this week. Who's the team?
Coaches know. The team that's in the eight that can do most damage?
In the 10.
Oh, I'll give you an eight, and then I'll give you a 10. Because currently, as it sits, the teams outside the eight can't play finals. Right now, they can't play.
There's a wild card weekend.
There's no wild card weekend. Teams in the eight that can cause havoc. I think Port Adelaide. team outside the eight that I think will be inside the eight by the end of the home and away season, the Western Bulldogs will be causing havoc. I'd hate to be playing the Bulldogs first week of the finals.
Rama?
I'd love to say Essendon, but it won't be them. Collingwood. Collingwood can cause the most havoc.
Boomer?
What Daniel said. Daniel's son. I like it. I think Port on their day are as nearly as good as anybody, but when they haven't got their day...
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, yeah. When it's not their day...
That's dangerous.
Gee, it's crazy. But, you know, you play finals, you just got to turn up on the day and get a gutsy little win, and then all of a sudden you're back into it. And totally agree with the Western Bulldogs, who are not sitting in the eight right now. If they make the eight the way they are playing and their confidence, it's a bit of 2016 about them. Why not us? They're back to playing some really, really good football and found some other players as well to add to that list.
They've got a forward structure now.
It's actually interesting. Daniel Hoyne on By the Numbers, Daniel.
The award-winning podcast. You can subscribe to Spotify, iTunes and all those places.
He actually said a really interesting thing about the Dogs that everyone's talking about. It's the Dogs of a few years ago. Because they're coming hard, but they're playing completely differently.
Yeah, they are.
So it's not necessarily...
It's that feel, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a momentum and whatever else. But the way they're doing it, it's the razzle-dazzle Dogs as opposed to the blue-collared Dogs of a couple of years ago. So it's interesting.
I just like what they've added. You know, you've got Norton up forward now. You've got a couple of young kids that come in and played in their first year. They're doing some different stuff. I like them.
Razzle dazzle from the back too. It's a little bit from D50. Like they've never seen
Crozier, Suckling
since 2014. They haven't had that level of conversion from inside 50s from D50 chains.
And one of their best ball users and runners off half back hasn't really had a great year in Johannesson.
JJ
hasn't set the world on fire. I don't think. I've been watched Western Bulldogs a couple of times live, and I just think that he's not giving them as much drive as he should be. Mm. If he kicks into another gear, well, there's another weapon again.
Well, there's a lot to talk about this round. And the other part, which I want to get to after the break, is there's not much... unfortunately, with 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing each other, there's actually not a window for these teams to hold too much back, considering what's on the line, which makes it even better from a spectacle perspective on the weekend.
Players in previous seasons are being rested.
Yeah. Yeah, or spots have been sort of locked up, so you sort of knew what was going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen, and we're going to find out a little bit more about it on the Friday Footy Preview after the break with our expert panel on RSN 927. Brent Harvey is with us, the AFL Games record holder. He's going to lead us through an outstanding round of football, round 22, after this.
Welcome aboard the Breakfast Club.
You can see the players growing before your eyes, but in 6 or 7 days' time, we've got to go out and face a great club. It'll be a challenge for us, but we'll look forward to it. If we want to be a good team, you've got to play in these games all the time, so get used to it, what I say.
Yeah, just get used to it. That's Chris Fagan, great coach advice. Of the Brisbane Lions, ahead of the big clash tomorrow at the Gabba, 2:10 against Geelong. Before we get to that, we're breaking with convention. We're not doing the Friday night game on the...
What?
Friday footy... what do we call this again? Friday footy preview? That's what we call it. is that many bloody Friday names around here? We're not doing Friday night. We're not doing Melbourne City.
Why not?
Because it's crap.
Okay.
So we've decided that we're not going to waste our time with that. There's more important matters at hand. By the way, Carlton have confirmed that Dale Thomas will be retiring via their Twitter account. 256 games, Premiership, All-Australian. Career full of memories, they say. Thanks, Daisy. So Daisy Thomas will be retiring today. That's confirmed by
the football
club.
He'll play out the year.
He'll play his 100th game.
I was going to say, which will mean that he'll end up playing 100 games at Collingwood and Carlton.
And have his name in the locker at the Blues.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been too many people that would have played 100 at Carlton and Collingwood.
Yeah, no, probably not.
The old father-son pick Collingwood or Carlton if he's any good.
If he's any good. He's got a daughter, I think, Daisy, at the moment.
And daughters?
Father-daughter.
Is there a father-daughter?
My word, there is.
How many games?
Andrew McKay.
One game.
This stage, that'll change, I think, but at this stage, it's one.
Ooh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. You got any daughters? Remember?
No, just boys. Just three boys.
Well, they'll be rubbish. let's have a look at that game.
Bang. Bang from 55.
At the game of tomorrow, it is a highlight of the calendar, without a doubt. 1v2 or 2v1, depending on how you want to spell it. No change for the Brisbane Lions, and why would you? Alex Witherden plays game number 50. Link McCarthy, 50 games as well. And Dan McStay with his 100th. And for Geelong, one change. O'Connor comes in for Menegola. Brendan Parfitt plays game number 50. This is... I've been waiting for this one for a little while, Boom. We'll have to wait till round 22 for these teams to come up against each other. And it's 1 and 2 on the ladder. What do you see when you look at this game, Boomer?
What do I see? I see very similar game styles from the Brisbane Lions and the Cats as well. I think they're both playing great. I said a long time ago that Brisbane, for me, didn't defend as well as the good teams do. I've been proven wrong. Happy to put my hand up and say that they're as good as anyone now in the competition. Or maybe not as good as anyone in the competition, but they're certainly in that top echelon of teams. I just didn't think Hodge, Witherden, Rich, these type of guys, I actually thought you could kick goals on them, but they're stopping goals. They're doing quite well. Now, whether that's more pressure up the field through Charlie Cameron and the forwards, or maybe the midfielders as well, he's certainly helping out. But I just think that they're becoming an even team, and they're not so... big names now are Harris Andrews, who is an All-Australian defender. Hipwood, get on the end of it. McCluggage has had a fantastic year now, a few years into the system and playing some awesome football. So I just think those younger guys are just starting to blend with the older guys. I reckon they've got a really good mix. Who would have thought Lions would have come over from the Gold Coast Suns and just absolute nail a year and give them something that they actually need as another inside clearance player. And the Cats are the Cats. We know, and Rama, you mentioned before, they kept the Kangas to one goal. They did that at their home ground. That's my, and it's no biggie. It's so much more narrow than any other ground. Can they maintain that? And gee, they defend well at Skilled Stadium. And they defend well anyway, but they read the play well. Last week, the Kangas gave them a spare down back. And I think anybody that does that to Geelong with their setups down back with the players they've got, Stewart, Tui, these type of guys, they're just going to sit off and read the ball and then just rebound everything you kick in. So that's the reason why Geelong kept them to one goal last week. So I think this is a cracker match of the round for me by a long way. And this is Brisbane's biggest test of the year.
Yep.
And they'll find out so much more about them going into the finals 2 weeks out, which is fantastic.
Is there an area of the ground for either team, Rama, that is the key to this?
Yeah. It's Brisbane's forward line.
Yep.
I'm a big believer. It's control versus attack. Geelong like to control the ground in terms of the way they set up, whereas Brisbane like to suck the defenders high up the ground and then play this high-tempo game going back the other way. So Geelong have been the masters that they just sit back and set up. So I'm expecting that again. Brisbane, they're high-octane, they're high-scoring at the moment. But if you look... the way the game was just used last week as an example. I know they won easy against Gold Coast, but even in a 100-point win, it still looked like Brisbane's forward line was emptied out.
Mm.
They were just constantly going into to one-on-one contest inside their forward 50. Geelong won't allow that. So this is a great test. This is a great test for Brisbane to see if their style will stand up and how long it will stand up for in particular games. If it turns into a scrap, at some stage in this game, I think that will be Brisbane's greatest challenge because their mids are still young. Lachie Neale is probably their best mid. He's been targeted.
Probably.
He's been targeted, obviously, quite often over the last couple of weeks. So how he can work through that, but then can Brisbane's younger mids, I'm talking about Berry, I'm talking about McCluggage, can those guys then step up and take the load away from and I'm purely thinking about finals here. This is, to me, it's a preview of
yep.
a final at some stage. So I'm just thinking of are both teams going to show all their cards this week?
Well, that's right. Can you afford not to expose everything?
So I don't think Geelong need to, but I think Brisbane need to give
them...
Well,
there's a top two finish on
I just think Brisbane need to give themselves, again, another shot of confidence to know that
totally
it's going to stand up. In the coming weeks with the young team still.
Totally agree. The interesting stat here, and there's a lot of talk about Geelong's slow play versus quick play, and they're too stagnant, they kick mark too much. Brisbane ranked 15th in that area from marks from play on, which is really surprising to me because when I watch them play, it feels like they wheel and go, get the ball into a little bit of Pagan's paddock for Charlie Cameron, the ball hits a deck, and they've got the smalls sort of just dispersing everywhere. So that's a really surprise to me that they're 15th in that marks from play on.
They got multiple options to play on Cameron Geelong.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
He's a super player.
Buse can do it.
Tui could do it. Blitzards could do it.
Stewart could do it.
Yeah. They got multiple options.
Blitzards?
Yep.
He could. Blitz arms. The big ruckman.
He could. Oh, he could.
You play the ruckman on Charlie Cameron.
Absolutely.
He's quite a unique beast. He's a
big
mark.
That's a good call.
I think if I was them, I'd start Bewes on him.
Yeah. I think that will be how it starts.
Yep.
But if it doesn't work, there is A, B, and C.
Yep. I think that's fair enough. You were going to say, Adam, what?
No, I was going to say, the way Geelong set up defensively, I think Brisbane can give them problems because Geelong like it coming in high and they like to be able to control it, as you said, Rammer. But the way Brisbane play its forward line, I'm not sure whether they're going to have it the way they want it. And I think that's probably going to be the determining factor. If Geelong can control Brisbane's forward line, they probably win. If they can't, I don't think they will win.
Have we seen Brisbane in a lower scoring game this year be able to really grind it out and win? Because Geelong haven't conceded 100 points this year.
No.
So that's my feel on this game right now is Geelong won't try to go blow for blow with Brisbane.
There's a comment that Chris Scott made last week about their best players. He felt that their best players collectively weren't on top of their game, and that was one of the key reasons why they dropped away a little bit, which was, I thought it was interesting. I don't know whether it was a cattle prod or whether it was just what he felt was the case. And I looked at it closely over the weekend, and I reckon he's right. Dangerfield had a great game against North Melbourne, but there is still a lot of scope for improvement with that group collectively.
Who's that group?
I think that's Selwood, Kelly, Dangerfield, Ablett, those game breakers through the midfield that get a lot of the footy, but obviously use it very well. And then clearly Tom Hawkins in the forward line. But collectively, I don't think they really ripped the game apart in the second half of the year. Now, the question is, are they waiting for finals? Are they waiting for this time of the year
to
explode?
Well, three games on top of the ladder, weren't they?
Yeah.
Three games clear at one stage on top of the ladder. So I think
they just need top two.
Yeah. What they did well against North Melbourne last week, Ramon, you touched on it before. They got the spare down back, and they gave North Melbourne the spare at the stoppage. But you know what they done?
All the time.
They still won the stoppages. Yeah. So North Melbourne had a plus one. Geelong still won the stoppages. So
that's because Kelly and Dangerfield are just so good around that
contest. But will Brisbane allow that? Or they'll say, no, bad luck. We're not giving you the spare. We'll just go play one-on-one and go head-to-head with you at the stoppages. And hopefully we clear the ball more than you, because I think that's where the game's going to be won.
So Geelong can get top two if they don't beat Brisbane still because of their percentage. Brisbane can't get top two if they don't win.
So it's a huge game.
I don't think they can beat Richmond.
Top two is huge. If Brisbane get a couple of games at the Gabba, no travelling, it's... anything can happen.
So who has more to gain and more to lose in this game?
Well, I think Brisbane's got more to lose and they've got more to gain.
100%.
Yep.
It's a good one. Who wins, Whitey?
Now, this is very difficult
for me. No, it's not.
No, it is because
I'll select first.
No. I'm one behind. Rammer. No, but that's Rammer knows my tips.
I'm selecting Geelong.
You shouldn't have done your tips then. Why have you done your tips but 4:30 in the morning?
By the numbers. And Rammer's an
avid fan. I am selecting Geelong.
Okay.
Who are you tipping?
I'm selecting Brisbane.
Who are you selecting, Boomer?
How many am I behind?
Don't worry about it. Just
well, Rammer and I have spaced you all.
Oh, sorry.
After
big guys.
A heroic performance last week.
Sorry, big guys. I'm going with Brisbane.
I'm going with Brisbane as well. I think that's what will happen. It's going to be a great game of footy. Cannot wait for it. Adelaide and Collingwood will do before we get to a break, because that's a really important game as well. At the Adelaide Oval tomorrow, 4:35, check your local guides. O'Brien and Seedsman come in for the Adelaide Crows. Atkins and Otten go out. Paul Seedsman plays game number 100 against his old boys. And Jacobs, 200 games for Big Sauce. And for the Magpies, the travelling specialist, Noble, even though he's from South Australia, is coming back into the team for Josh Dacos. Levi Greenwood plays game number 150, Whitey.
O'Brien and Jacobs playing in the same team. Interesting.
Wow, that's no doubt to tag team Grundy. Like Max Gaunt spoke about, what did he say during the week? That his role was to tag Grundy.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
So Adelaide are currently ninth, and they sit percentage outside the top eight. Collingwood fifth at the moment and haven't been going that well. They can't make
well, they've won
four.
Their last two, Collingwood.
Well, they can, but I don't think they will.
They've won their last two, but have been against ranked 17 and 18 teams.
Well, that's right. If they win this
Richmond
week...
Richmond lose and Collingwood win, Collingwood will go to fourth spot.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct.
So they can make top four.
Yes, you're right. They can make top
I still can't
four.
See.
I was just checking.
Yeah, they can do stuff. There's a lot of cans and wills.
Adelaide on paper still look a really, really strong team. You look through their midfield, the two Crouch boys, Sloan, Seedsman's back's a good one because he gives them a bit of run and carry. Their backs are getting You know, their backs are getting laird, and Brodie Smith's back playing some football. So on paper, they look, they actually look back to when they make,
well, with
what
Adelaide,
year was it, the final, 2017.
Yeah, with Adelaide, it depends on whether you believe last week's result, like they fell 10 points short against West Coast, whether you believe that that was a really good performance or whether West Coast was just patchy. And with Collingwood, it's whether you believe they're back in form, having beaten 17th and 18th ranked teams in the last 2 weeks. I still think there's issues with Collingwood. They only scored, I think, one goal in two quarters against Melbourne.
Underwhelming last week.
Yeah.
But they kicked, but did in they, the middle two quarters, they kicked 11 of,
that's
like,
right,
10
they
of 11
did
goals.
But they did miss a percentage boosting chance. So I'm not sure what to make of it.
Well, Adelaide had 22 less inside 50s and West Coast last
week. I thought West Coast should have beaten Adelaide by
22.
8 goals.
Well, they should have. Yeah. 22 in, less inside 50 says it's a 10-goal win.
Expected
shows
score,
well,
Daniel. Expected
Adelaide
score.
Defence play.
Expected what score. Was expected score last week? Adelaide West Coast.
West Coast would have won by, should have won by 6 goals.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
I sort of half made that up, but that was about that.
Expected scores. It's a great stat. It is a, we spoke about this last week. It's a great stat.
Well, it is, but you're, it's after the event, so it's no good to me.
No, but what it means is in general play,
what should
West
have
Coast,
happened?
It was in general play, West Coast didn't take the chances they should have.
No, I agree with that. That they should
and,
have
and I think that's more. The way the game played out. You know, they just went along West Coast. They always felt they had the game in control, but they missed a percentage chance to get up with Brisbane, because now there's a bit of a gap between the Lions and the Eagles. They're equal on points, but there's a 5%, you know, gap that could be costly.
What are you thinking, Rema?
I think Collingwood are playing in spurts at the moment, which is a small concern for mine. But when they're playing in those spurts, their best football is as good as anybody. Their ball movement becomes so quick, so precise, and they look like the team that we saw last year that got so close to winning a premiership. So that's why I've still got confidence in them. I think if they can find another 20 or so minutes of that football in a game, they're going to be very, very difficult to beat, because they've got good players. They won't get Langdon back this year. He's done for the year. They'll get Darcy Moore back. They'll get Degoe back. They'll get Stevenson back. So Stevenson fresh will be so important when he comes back.
Will that be too late and they won't finish in the top four? Then they've got to scratch and bite to make another grand final?
Well, I think they'll win this week. So
well, there's Rammers, Tim.
So,
hang on. Is Phil playing?
Pardon?
Is Phil playing?
Very good.
No, he's not playing.
Phil in is not playing. He's not playing. It's a very interesting game. Adelaide looking for a top eight. Yeah. Rammers boys,
I think,
and Magpies.
Unfortunately
for
Adelaide, it'll be the final nail.
There's a bit happening. So you're tipping
Collingwood,
Boomer?
I'm going with Adelaide.
Whitey?
No, I'm with Collingwood. I still believe in Collingwood. I still think they can go a fair way into September.
I've lost a bit of faith in the Magpies, I must admit. I'm on the Crows to try and continue their chance for September action. So 2-2.
I'd love to know the tips, though. What are we?
Well, I'm winning, and the other two, three are just doing stupid stuff.
How many am I behind?
25-8. Working out during the break. After that, Brett Toledio is going to join us. A bit of an analysis break here, but Brett Toledio, who's retiring come season's end, he told us yesterday, he's going to be joining us on The Breakfast Club. Now, we're going to do the Friday face-off after 8 o'clock, so we'll make sure you stick around for that. Also, a big reason to hang around for that would be David Teague joining us as well, the senior coach of the Carlton Football Club. Looking forward to chatting to David after, I'm sure, a big day yesterday. But Boomer's with us for the Friday footy preview. We've got two really important games to get our teeth into before 8 o'clock. And the first one of those is Richmond and West Coast. Now, Sunday squads for these ones. So who knows where it's going to end up. 110 MCG Sunday. It's going to be a magnificent 3v4 or 4v3, depending on how you read it. Jake Arts is into the squad. Dustin Martin's back. He will play. Pickett and Soldo also into the squad. Jake's a 24-year-old from Richmond in the VFL. Marlon Pickett from South Fremantle. 27-year-old Nathan Broad plays game number 50, the premiership defender. In for the West Coast Eagles, and I don't think they'll play, Cameron Mustin, Rotham and Vardy for the West Coast Eagles. Rama, this is big.
Oh, this is enormous.
A lot of people saying these are the two. Not you.
I don't know.
You like Geelong, but a lot of people
say
Richmond and West Coast
are
the two.
Are going as good as everybody thinks. That's my thought.
I 100% agree with you.
Now, we're lucky enough to have a few stats in front of us, and that backs it up. But I like the eye test. And the eye test for me is always really important in football. And I don't think they're as smooth and as controlled as they have been when they're playing their very, very best football. It looks like some of their stuff right at the minute is forced. I go back to the Collingwood game. That was their last real, real big game, and they failed that test.
Yep.
And that was a big one. So Collingwood played a style where they were able to get West Coast with ball movement. So I've always felt with West Coast, if you can move the ball really well against West Coast at speed, you can break them apart. Because their midfield's not super quick, really. Shuey, Yo, they're more contested football players around contests. So Gaff's the one. He's not quick, but he covers ground. So ball movement against West Coast is the most critical part of the plan. If you slow the game down against West Coast, they love that. Because West Coast are a kick mark team themselves. They take great contested marks. They're number one in the competition in contested marks. So they do that quite easy. You start kicking the ball to McGovern, to Barris, to Shepherd. West Coast will beat you all day. You've got to be able to move the ball speed. Take the Collingwood game where they won. Take the Collingwood game, the grand final, where they lost. Once Collingwood started to slow that game down, it just played into West Coast's hands. So Richmond will keep the speed on this game in its entirety, and I think they'll win quite comfortably.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're certain is Richmond. Since West Coast lost to Collingwood, their wins have been against Melbourne, North Melbourne, Carlton and Adelaide.
Who have they lost to?
No, they haven't lost in that since they lost to Collingwood.
Right. So what are you saying, Wayne?
Well, I think they're playing patchy footy.
It's a little
footy.
Bit of fake form.
I think they're playing patchy footy. Wait, they're going to have to win.
Turn up and play against who they're playing
against.
Yeah,
but Essendon were doing the same.
You can't just chuck Collingwood in there because it's five in a row.
And it was fake form.
But we're now stacking them up against the best. And I feel that.
But they haven't had a chance to play the best since Dubai.
I don't think their footy's been good enough from what we've seen to be able to beat Richmond at the MCG.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with both what you guys are saying in terms of the ball movement. You couldn't get two contrasting styles of football by the stats that we've got in front of us here. It's unbelievable. Most of the stats, one team second, the other team 16th, and then it just reverses. So the quickness, I've always thought against those Alistair Clarkson coaches, when you can break a line, and I've said this numerous of times, when you can break a line, you can get them out the back. Yep. Now, I certainly think you can score on West Coast out the back. I even think that about Richmond still, because they play such a chaos, knock the ball forward, the half forwards come really high and just go forward in numbers. If you turn the ball over on them, I think you can score. Now, they are set up probably the best team behind the ball in Asprey, Grimes, Rance when he was playing. They have that gatekeeper, so to speak.
Yep.
But I still think you can score on him because on turnover, everybody's out of position for Richmond. So I think it's going to be a cracking game. I do agree with you guys if you move the ball quickly against West Coast and not let McGovern switch and take intercept marks, you're going to be going okay. So interesting game, though.
Who wins, Whitey?
Richmond, best bet of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go Richmond because it's at the MCG.
Tigers. Tigers for me as well. Let's get to the Giants and the Bulldogs. A ripper at Giants Stadium on Sunday as well. Kaur, Cumming, De Boer, Himmelberg, Kelly, Sproul. Kelly, it's nice to have him back. Cameron and Delidio go out. Porter, West, Le Young and Le Young, as we spoke about last time. The young boys are back in. Porter is a 20-year-old from Gippsland Power and Sproul's a 21 for the Giants. From Giants Academy. Now, Bulldogs are flying. We've spoken about that. The Giants have had some patchy form with injury and concern. They were ultra disappointing last week. Boomer, can they stop the Bulldogs' rampage at the moment?
Can they kick a big enough score without Jeremy Cameron in the team? Notice Himmelberg's there. Who's the other big forward that's not playing?
Cameron.
Finlayson is the other one that's not playing. Cameron's out, isn't he?
Yeah, Cameron's out.
Yeah, so the big question is for me, can they kick a big enough score? Matt De Boer, who will he go to? Whitey?
Oh, gee, who does he go
good
to?
Good question.
Yeah, McRae, Hunter,
well, the Essendon
Bontempelli.
That didn't work very well.
Well, it's hard to tag the wingers. It's very, very hard to tag the wingers, I reckon. I think he goes inside. He's played on Cunnington. He's played on... Did he play on Cripps?
Dunkley.
Oh, Dunkley's out. Yeah, he doesn't hurt you with the ball. He doesn't hurt you with the ball.
He gets
like
a lot of it, though. He starts a lot of...
Yeah, games. No, I totally agree. I just don't
you
think
stop
he's
the
a...
start. That's a
I just
good
don't
start.
Think he's a ball user that kicks the ball inside 50. Clean.
No, he's not.
Bontempelli's the one you want to stop.
Can he go to Bontempelli? Bontempelli probably takes
not.
Him forward.
The one that they've gone to a lot is actually Hunter.
Hunter.
In the second half of the year. Not every week, but quite a few times. His numbers have dropped quite a bit, Hunter.
Yeah, I really like what the Bulldogs are doing, though. The way their style of play... They score a lot from their change from halfback.
Yep.
And I mentioned before, JJ still hasn't really hit his straps. I think if he can play a really big game, they can score off halfback. I don't think GWS will kick a big enough score. So Bulldogs for me.
Rama,
Oh, geez, if Jeremy Cameron's playing, I'm...
He's not, though.
I know.
No, he's not playing. It's official.
And I know you've selected the Bulldogs, too.
He's not playing.
They were awful last week, the Giants. Absolutely awful. So
it was snowing. They got an out.
There's no outs. So.
Have you ever played in the snow with cold hands, cold feet?
It doesn't matter. They were just awful. They didn't want to be there.
Mount Evelyn.
So Toby Green is in unbelievable form. So I think we speak about the Bulldogs midfield enough, but Toby Green has been in stunning form.
About to go to the news, Rammer.
I know we are. I can see the time. Bulldogs.
Bulldogs for you. Bulldogs for White.
Bulldogs, yep.
Who are you tipping?
Boomer? Yeah, I'm with the Bulldogs, but I need to tip someone else because I've got to make stuff up.
Now. You're gone, Boomer.
I'm tipping the Bulldogs as well. They're rampaging. I don't think, a bit like you, Remo, I don't think they can kick a big enough score against the Dogs because they won't have enough ball the way the Dogs play. So that's the games. We'll come back and give you the rest of the tips for the Friday face-off as well after the break. And David Teague still to join us on The Breakfast Club. All right, David Teague not too far away. Boomer Harvey still with us on the Friday footy preview, and it's nice to have him as part of our world every week on The Breakfast Club through the AFL season. We're going to go through the rest of the tips. Friday face-off not too far away. You'll work out what the category is shortly.
I'm not sure. I've suggested one before. I'm not sure whether that's the right one.
No, I've changed it.
I love the fact that we get 14 seconds to... Mate, think
well, that's because half won last week, so it's a little bit all over the place.
Every time I've won, the whole two times this year, I've come in, I've told you at 7:30.
Mate.
Give you guys to... Anyway, go on.
Mate, all right? Some of us have got work to do. All right, I've got work to do. Now, we're still doing Melbourne-Sydney, by the way, so just get your head around Melbourne-Sydney. That's the Friday face-off, Friday night games.
We just don't have a category.
It's tough, isn't it?
I'll tell you about it shortly. Let's go through the rest of the round. Let's start with that game, Melbourne-Sydney tonight at the MCG. Whitey?
Sydney.
Boomer.
Melbourne.
Remanascus.
Do it.
Go on, do it.
You won't do it.
Melbourne.
Whoa.
Sydney there it is. For me. Sydney for me.
That is downright impossible, game, to pick.
No, it's not. Yeah. Sydney will win.
Easy. Someone's going
to
win.
Carlton St Kilda, this is a good game tomorrow. I'll speak to David Teague about it shortly at the MCG. Rammer.
this is so hard. There's so much at stake.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Diego. Carlton.
Carlton, Boomer?
I'm with the T20. Teague for 20, and I'm going to go with the Blue Boys as well.
Oh, no, T20. Whitey?
Carlton.
Carlton for me as well. North Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Sof, Kangas for you. Yes, thumbs up from Sof. She's a kangaroo
supporter. Well, she's a North Melbourne supporter.
Well, she told us that last week.
Working in the hospital precinct around sort of the northern part of the city.
What did you move over for when you asked Sof then?
He actually moved over so she could use your microphone. No, I've seen it.
Some champion data stats for me.
She's got no interest in being on air, Sof. She's doing a great job over there. At least we've got her a chair today. North Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Marvel Stadium tomorrow night. Whitey?
No, I'm quite keen on Port Adelaide in this game. On the fast deck.
Boomer, you and Sof with the Kangas.
Roo Boys.
Rammer?
North Melbourne.
Ooh, I'm taking on the Kangas. I reckon Port can win that one. And continue there. Run. Fremantle Essendon's a very interesting affair. Lots of good ins for Essendon. but it's in Perth tomorrow night. Rammer?
Fremantle.
Boomer?
Yeah, I can't go with the Bombers at the minute either. The Dockers for me.
Rammer's picked Essendon probably 20 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
I've tipped them about twice.
Mm-hmm.
Rammer's going with Freo. I'm going with Essendon. I think Essendon... I really think Essendon can win this game, providing they play a proactive brand of footy.
Right. So there's some caveats there, but
good luck. No. But if they take the game on, I think they can beat Freo. Freo's season shot last week, bit flat. Essendon all to play for. I'd be disappointed if they don't win.
Yeah, Ballantyne and Sandilands playing. Yeah, Sandilands last game in Perth.
Sandy, yes. Good luck to him, by the way.
Hayden's a horse trainer now. I don't think he'd be doing too much.
Well, word he is. He's up and about early doors. Does his training. With the horses, then does his training for his body.
It is a great story what he's doing.
I'm tipping Fremantle in that game as well. And last game of the round, Hawthorne Gold Coast, Jared Ruffin, final game, Marvel Stadium, Sunday for 40. Rama.
Oh, Hawks.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Hawthorne.
Yep. Hawthorne for me as well. They're the tips. Righto. Friday face off. That's a good question at the back.
Rama's already ready. Look at him.
Who's going to carry Sandy off?
Mitch Crowden and Hayden Ballantyne.
Who's going to carry Aaron Sandilands off the field? That's going to be a difficult job. Good question at the back. With disposals, just disposals, straight out disposals tonight for the Friday face-off. Melbourne and Sydney. Two combatants. Myself, Boomer gets to pick.
Whitey.
Correct.
Boomer, well, hang on, why am I second last?
Because you won you 2 weeks ago.
Oh, we've got to pick right now.
No, it was you. You, Scotty Gallen, won for you.
Oh, yes.
So it's Boomer, Whitey, Rammer, and then me. You go first, Boomer. Who you got? Disposals? Melbourne, Sydney.
Clayton Oliver.
Clayton Oliver for Brent Harvey. Who are you playing for, Boomer?
Oh, that's a good point. I'm playing for Lisa Baker from Katunga. Where's that? Where's Katunga?
Well, Kevin Hicks is there.
Who?
Mate, haven't you heard the ad? Kevin Hicks is there.
No.
Oh, come on. You've got to listen to the station more.
Where is it?
Just ask Kevin. He knows.
Yeah,
Kevin,
so you obviously don't know.
Kevin's all over. So, Lisa,
Central Victoria.
You've got Clayton Oliver with Boomer. Whitey?
I didn't like this today, Daniel. I'm just a bit disappointed.
All right, I'm going I'm going with Boomer's man, Jake Lloyd.
Oh, Whitey, no, mate.
I can't believe you didn't finish.
This is terrible.
I only just remembered the last minute.
If Jake Lloyd wins tonight, I am going to dead set. Stay on WhatsApp because I am going to destroy you, boys.
Who are you playing for, Whitey?
I am playing for Scott Gibson from Harcourt.
Nice work.
Mate, they make nice apples, or they grow nice apples in Harcourt.
Is that right?
Yep.
I'll take your word for that. Rammer?
This is a great name. Frank Glyde.
Frank Glyde. Clyde
from
the Glyde.
Bernda, I will select, we will select, because we are a team, Frank and I.
Who?
Luke Parker.
Luke Parker.
What happened in Mernda, Rammer? Because we had Katunga, something good. No, Harcourt, something good.
Mernda? No idea what Frank
does. It's not a bad pub out in Mernda.
It's a nice place. Yeah, close to your place. Well done, Frank. Good luck to you. That means Zach Hammond from Colac. What's
home
happening?
Scott Gallen.
Home of Scott Gallen, the great Scott Gallen. Zach Hammond from Colac. I'm playing for you, and we think after all those other key players are gone that we might get Josh Kennedy to burst out of the blocks tonight MCG.
I'm that disappointed.
Oh, this is fantastic.
By the way, playing for the Arena Golf for Four at Warrigal Country Club and the $150 voucher to the Mail Exchange Hotel.